You're listening to Power Pearls Podcast, where it's all about empowering your knits and pearls. My name is Karagat Warner, life coach and host of the show, and I help women to be more intuitive, navigate time management, and understand how mindset plays a crucial role in confidence and creative transformation. If you've been struggling in a certain area, I just want you to know that I'm here to help. So maybe you're seeking more creative confidence, or you struggle with your time and how to use it to your benefit, or maybe you just want to feel better. So here's what I'd like to offer you. I'd love for you to get some clarity on what keeps you from reaching your potential. So I'd like to invite you to apply for a free consultation with me to finally get that clarity and direction you'd like. As a life coach, I help give you awareness to get to the root of whatever you're struggling with. And once you gain that awareness, it acts like the jet fuel for achievement in every area of your life. To experience the clarity of mind you seek, set up a call with me today, and all you need to do is go to karagatwarner.com and click the link Work with Kara at the top of the page. Okay, on to the episode. Hey everyone, I want to welcome you to the live edition of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm super excited because I am welcoming my favorite super heroine, Kate Stillman of yogahealer.com to the show today. So I want to say welcome, Kate. I'm so happy that you're here.
Thanks, Kara. Thanks for sharing me with your people.
Oh, awesome. So I want to make sure that we have the right view here, making sure that we can see you on the screen as well. So I just want to check a few things here. Lots of different bells and whistles. Oh, there you are. Okay, good. We're both on. Okay, awesome. Oh, all right. So you guys, we're going to chat about Kate's new amazing book called Master of You. It's kind of flashing on the screen here. So this book is truly a gift to the world because it is transforming lives, including my own. And what a better time to talk about this book than right now with all the unrest that's going on in the world. So, you know, I believe that this book is a total resource for so many people right now going through struggle and confusion about, you know, what the next chapter is. So before I turn things over to you, Kate, I just want to ask everyone watching, I guess I'll do this again as people kind of come into the room, to hop in the comments and say hello and where you're watching from, and then share this out with your friends. And then later on in the broadcast, you guys can ask Kate questions. So pop those in the comments whenever you have them. Okay. So, Kate, I just want to say that this book has helped me look at things differently, which is why I wanted you to share your wisdom and insights today. And I'm also hoping that we can weave into our conversation how this book can be a great benefit for so many people right now, like as a real support for those who need it with all the unrest that's happening in the world. So I would like to stop talking and turn the mic over to you so you can share a bit about yourself and your own evolution.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I kind of just want to pick up on the thread that you were saying about just, you know, the relevance, right? Right now, relevance is everything, right? So those who have been kind of awake to where the conversation's been going are more relevant right now. And those who have been somewhat, I would say, asleep at the wheel and not actively engaging in their own growth path can feel like really overwhelmed right now. Mm-hmm. And that's relevant. Like, and for me with Master of You, like a lot of the drive behind that was like, how do we empower people directly with the five elements? So my background is as an Ayurvedic medicine practitioner and as a, I'd say a serious yoga teacher. Back when yoga teacher training was 2 years instead of a couple of weeks. And I started yogahealer.com in 2001 to bridge the communities between the Ayurveda community and the yoga community. For those who don't know Ayurveda, it's the healing science. That's the backbone of the yogic path of enlightenment. It's very much about radiant longevity. It's about like optimizing your day-to-day, learning from yesterday and applying it to tomorrow. And in this path, it's a path that calls on us to be an awake, alive, free version of ourselves. So in my first book, Body Thrive, I took the very simple teaching of daily rhythm, the circadian, like how a human being needs to line up to the circadian rhythm. And I just codified it. I just said, hey, there's 10 habits. If you have these habits, you'll experience greater freedoms. You'll experience more thrive in your body, in your mind, in your relationships, in your life. And that came out of just a deep study of Ayurveda and yoga, and just knowing that like either people line up or they don't. And a lot of the place that modern people have trouble, and I knew this from teaching yoga and being an Ayurvedic medicine practitioner, and then eventually leading a global online community, is that like people have a hard time changing their habits or doing what they know they should be doing. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause it's like, it's easy to know what to do. It's hard often to like, how do you do that? How do you make that happen in real time? And then that community grew. So that whole Body Thrive community grew. And what I found happened from that is when people have these habits, they do develop a much more powerful relationship with life itself. And so they're able to do more. They're able to be the change they want to see in the world. They're able to take on bigger projects, bigger goals. And so that then became the next level of work, both in my online course community. And so we developed Awake Living, which is this course that then became the book Master of You, which is there's these five elements. They are five powers. If you're ever, you know, it's like if you're ever lost, or if you're ever wanting to gain more power, like tap into these elements. These elements are across time and they're across culture. Mm-hmm. So we find them or some version of them in every culture and in every time. So what is our relationship right now? I find that first element of space so important, especially I mean, it's interesting in different ways. Like right now, the space element or ether element, which is the element of the vibration in the field, it has an emotion. These elements are everywhere and everything in every cell. So space is all around us. Space is outer space. Space is inner space. Space is the space that the breath moves into. It's the space within every cell that enables everything to happen in digestion. If you like eat too much food, you don't feel space and you're like, wow, space is needed even for eating, even for fullness. There's a relationship to space. So a lot of people right now are in this emotion of space, which, it was like shifting into curiosity of like, how am I racist? Like, how am I part of the problem? How am I not part of the solution? And that is beginner's mind. That is the emotional component of space element of like, the field is always changing. How's it changing now? And where am I in the field? And how do I really line up to be part of the future I want to see next?
Yeah. And I mean, it's also this sense of curiosity too, right? I mean, it's like being in that space and being willing to, you know, just make mistakes and be a little bit confused maybe about what's happening, and just really be open to, like you said, the beginner's mind, to really saying, okay, I don't have the answers. I'm not really sure, but I'm just going to get in there and, you know, just learn and just open up to whatever is like presenting itself to me. And also just to go back to what you said about the space element, because I was just reading a little bit in the book in that section, and just you're in your own little microcosm space, you know, with, you know, you're just on the simplest level, your refrigerator is a mess, you know, and that just kind of trickles into other areas. Like if your refrigerator is a mess, maybe that trickles into your mind is a mess, or your, you know, other areas in your life aren't quite in order and there's a little bit of chaos.
Or it's just harder to make good food decisions, right?
That's, well, like, on the simplest, exactly.
And then that really affects the mind, right? Yeah, but it is so true. Like when you start to design your space for the vibration of who you want to become next, Yeah. Now you're using, now you're really in right alignment with those, with the field of ether, the Akasha, which is like this, it's the, again, there's a lot of talk right now about like neuroplasticity. Well, when you design your space, when you architect your environment is what it's called in behavioral science, you're using the neuroplasticity of the field. So we often don't think of that. Like there's a plasticity of the field of manifestation or the field of the future that we're all designing separately or together. So how do we imprint more of what we want into the field? So even in, say you're trying to like clean up your diet, or say someone's trying to eat more vegetables. Maybe someone's trying to eat more celery. That's like been the rage from the medical medium for the past few years. So you're trying to just eat more celery. Well, if you open your refrigerator and you see celery and it's, and you've already like cut up and pre-prepared it so you can just grab it. Like a lot of people stock their refrigerator doors with what they want to eat more of. Now they're actually using their environment to imprint the future behaviors that they want to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I feel like what's happening, you know, right now we're seeing this planetary shift. Right, with all this, all the racism, I just kind of want to shift into talking about how the book and how you design the you know, you talk about the five elements as like a system that's very accessible. That's what I really love about the book, because in Body Thrive, you know, you had the 10 habits, and then now you have the five elements of Ayurveda in this system that can be really practical and really useful. And I feel like with this, I feel like there's definitely a cosmic shift. It's like this book can be this support to us. Okay, what's that next chapter? So could you, like, what's your perspective on that as like, oh my gosh, we're like in this shift and, you know, all this is happening, as they say, for us, not to us, right? I mean, that I prefer to look at
things. Yeah, there's not a victim. Sure. If you're in victim mentality, there's a problem right there. So
So how can these five, how can this 5-point system, you know, to synchronize all these areas of your body, your home, your time, and your ambition, how can those help us right now in this world of unrest from your perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's like, I, for some reason, like my dharma or my, like part of what I'm here to do in this lifetime seems to be to create curriculums. So Master of You is very much this like reintroduction to these five powers so that you can harness your ambition. Like what is the ambition for your life? And there's a lot of books on dharma out there. I just tried to bring it down to the simplest of like these five elements are always, they're in every cell of your body. They're in everything around you. Like they're right here, right now. So what's your relationship to them? And then it does get a little bit, you know, towards the esoteric. I would say it's actually been a funny journey, right? Because Master of You was released March 17th, 2020, which is like right when lockdown was starting to go into effect around the country. And there's surrenders is like never be in antagonism to what's happening. Like it's a fairly basic teaching of yoga.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Open. Yeah, not against, like with going with the flow, right?
Yeah. Or just, totally. Really receptive, like open to what's happening now. And I was like, okay, this is, I was just really curious about how it was all going down, and very spacious of just like, and there's certain times where you need to actually increase the amount of space element in your physiology, including in your mind. Right. And that's usually how it works, is it works more from the level of just shifting your perception. And when you shift your perception to deep time and deep space. And deep time and deep space is so important. When I was doing this morning, when I was just reflecting, I'm like really into the Body Thrive habits, right? And so I like wake up, do my things, go for my bike ride up the mountain, come back, you know, and I'm just reflecting at some point when I'm taking a shower, and I'm reflecting on the, like just really the, you know, just the history of race and rights. And what that does is it just gives me a bigger perspective. So there's what's right now. And a lot of people get very wrapped up in what's right now. Now in terms of the brain, like what's right now can often be perceived as a stressful situation. And so we lose the ability to relax. Now, what yoga teaches in opening to grace or opening to a bigger field or just simply being receptive first, always first, be receptive. Don't block first. Don't try to shape things first. Just first open to what's going on. Is that that releases the nervous system into a relaxation response. So now you can actually access more of your intelligence, because in a stress response, like, we're pretty dumb. We're very reactive. It's not a way to live. And it's definitely not a way to get through the day. So these habits, you know, in Body Thrive, they just help us get to, like, hey, you can actually live your life in a relaxation response. And when you do, you can shape your future so much better. And you can shape our future. We can shape our future so much better. We can be more ambitious about the change we want to see in the world.
So what are the 10 habits, Kate? Can we just talk a little bit about that really, really quick? I know we're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because just
so
people can
understand.
They're not
mystical, you guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's based on... Yeah. It's pretty... And I keep... It's cool because, like, the newest stuff that's coming out of, like, Stanford in terms of behavioral science is really, like, just backing up what the yogis have been pointing to forever, or at least the last 4,000 or 5,000 years, which is a long time. I mean, it's a really long codified system of experimental behaviors, and just like, hey, how do you optimize your physiology so that you can A, experience radiance and longevity, so that you, like, you feel great as you age. It's not just about longevity. It's like feeling great and radiating the light that you are. And so with that, it's just a look at, like, basically nature works in pulsation. We happen to be on a planet that has day and night. Human beings happen to be, they happen to be diurnal. We happen to be diurnal primates. So we're not nocturnal. We're diurnal. My cat is nocturnal. He demonstrates that every single night when he goes hunting.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not, and you're not either.
Right.
And so there's part of the brain that's actually in, it's in the back of the eye. There's these layers of cells that they set the rhythm. If they can perceive sunlight at dawn and dusk, it sets the rhythm for the organs for the rest of the day, so that all of your organs function in the rhythm, in what the yogis say, krama. There's a natural sequence to things. So A, you have to be awake to see the dawning of the day. Mm-hmm. Now, how can you be awake to the dawning in the day in an optimal way? Well, that starts the night before. Because if you eat too much or drink too much at night, like, you've just blown the next day. So that game's gone. You just blew it. Mm. You just blew your 24-hour cycle of synchronization.
Yeah.
So we start the day before, and we start today. We start essentially with earlier, lighter dinner. You have to eat early enough and light enough that you go to bed early enough and light enough with it. Your stomach feels light enough that you'll sleep well. And you'll experience the dawn of the new day.
That's my favorite Keystone habit, by the way. Like, that one right there, if anyone takes just one thing away today, it's that Keystone habit. You know, just going to bed. I always say, go to bed empty. You're going to go to bed empty and just kind of clean house. And that just one habit is huge.
And it's counterculture, right?
It is.
I mean, and this was interesting because I was talking with Romy Toussaint on the Yoga Healer podcast last week on
the
Yoga of Color. And I was like, all the habits in Body Thrive are free. If we have access, and we don't, so they're not really free because we don't all have access to clean air and clean water. But if we were to all have access to clean air and clean water, the habits themselves are free. Like, aligning to natural health, to positive health, is free. Like, you don't need expensive supplements. You don't need expensive body work. There's a rhythm out there. And this rhythm is awoken when we simply go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. Mm-hmm. Now, when we wake up early enough, we're naturally in hydrate and eliminate. So this is a big thing. A lot of people don't hydrate and eliminate in the morning. They just drink coffee and they don't actually have a bowel movement often within the first hour waking up. So how do we retrain the body to hydrate, eliminate? That's the next habit. So we have earlier, later dinner, early to bed, what we call start the day right, which is hydrate, eliminate, and align your awareness to deep time, deep space. So that's a mental habit. It's a perspective habit, right? You just train your mind to, like, planet's 13.7 billion years old. Long time. Or the universe, it's 13.7 billion years old. And how do we attune ourselves to, like, where am I today? So we have to get into, like, wow, I'm on this part of the planet. The planet is spinning around the sun. The sun is in this solar system. The solar system's in this galaxy, because all that's doing, right, is you're just shape-shifting your perspective out of the emergency response of like, I'm overwhelmed because there's too much on my plate today. Mm-hmm. Or I'm overwhelmed by the economy, or I'm overwhelmed by the loss of my job, or I'm over, like, we just shift into, wow, I'm alive in time and space. This is amazing. And Dawn has that energy. And then the other habits just kind of fall into line, and they're all based on the rhythm. They're all based on, as a mammal, you're meant to move in the morning. You're meant to like wake up and move your body. You're meant to breathe and breathe deeply. Mm-hmm. And what this does is this sets a certain amount of life force in the cells of our body for the day. Yeah. The other habits are around eating and eating in rhythm, which mostly now is like intermittent fasting is like the easiest way to describe it. Is like your digestive tract. If you're an adult, your digestive tract needs at least 14 to 16 hours off per 24-hour cycle. If you are trying to lose weight, you need to crank that up more like 16 to 20 hours.
For sure.
If you have a slower metabolism, what we call a kapha constitution, you probably are going towards 1 to 2 meals a day with a 4 to 6 hour eating window. If you have a faster constitution, it might bump out to 6 to 8 hours a day. But this is just allowing digestion to function in digest and rest. Mm-hmm. And the rest part of the cycle is what allows us to start metabolizing our fat. Fat allows our nervous system to relax. It gives us more lubrication in our joints, in our skin, in our thinking. Like we actually enter phases of deeper focus just from getting into a better rest and digest cycle.
Yeah. And they're very simple. You know, the habits, the 10 habits in Body Thrive, they're very simple. So in theory, you know, yeah, simple, but not always easy. The only reason why I say not easy to implement, but once you dial them in, you really can. I mean, they just click. And then you have that
just
ability
small
to,
steps, like taking any, steps, and we find this over time, right? Small steps in the right direction. Being with other people that have these habits is very important. And that's a much faster way.
And that's why they're called habits. So we can dial them in and work them. Yeah. So can we like switch gears a little bit and talk more about, talk about Master of You. And I wanted to, so now that was a good basis for the 10 habits to talk about the five elements, which is also, you call it the five point system, right? The 5 point system. So those are the five elements of Ayurveda that you're talking about and how those work into that 5 point system. So can you talk about what those are?
Yeah. And I'll just talk about what it's really about. So the perspective of like, you're here, I believe you're here to do something with your life. Everyone listening, like everyone out there, like I really do. I really have a strong belief, a strong conviction that this isn't all random and it's not necessarily all about a joyride either, right? Like you have a higher calling, you have a deeper purpose. And so that's what Master of You is in service of. Is if we can empower ourselves with the elements, we just have a much greater likelihood. If we can organize our awareness into a system of achieving from a relaxation response, then like amazing things can happen. And what I say is it points to is it does point to a future that's beyond our wildest dreams. Mm-hmm. It really does, you know, and there's such great precedent for this. Like you think of any of like the great people out there, like Gandhi's come to mind lately a lot for me because he led through fasting. He led revolutionary change, overthrowing colonialism through fasting. It's so phenomenal.
It really is. I know a lot of people, when they talk about fasting, that there's a lot of clarity of mind, clarity.
Yeah. Even.
So it's like,
energy efficiency. Like you no longer expend energy inefficiently.
It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. And I think for a lot of people, there's like a fear of just being hungry and I'm scared and what am I going to do? But it's like this thing that just happens, like your body just sort of kind of clicks into a rhythm. Again, once you get into the habit. So once you make that commitment, and then it's just amazing how the wisdom of your body, you just like unlock it. It's just fascinating to me, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have this. So again, I believe you're called to a higher purpose. I believe that your intuition is very intelligent and that's what's cluing you in. And that when you can align your life to that, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So I just want to be really straightforward. Like there's nothing in the yogic path. There's really nothing in like paths to enlightenment, mystical traditions in general that are like, this is the easy road. There's nothing that says that. historically. It's like, no, actually, positive stress creates positive change. Positive stress creates positive change. It's not no stress. So we're not looking for the easy way out. Like that game has never been on in yoga. And there's a word for it called tapas. And it's this burning desire. It's this burning desire within you to be the change you want to see in the world, to make things happen in a much better way for yourself, for future generations, for your community, et cetera. So it always goes beyond you.
And isn't tapas fire? Doesn't that stand for like the fire element is tapas? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It burns the way forward. Yes. It's like the burning desire to evolve, you know, whether it's for initially maybe for yourself and then later maybe for your family and for your community and for then greater holisms, future generations.
Yeah.
So that's getting really clear on like why, why these five elements are so important. Because at that point, it's like, you're going to need some help, right? Like you're going to want to use what's available to you in order to make the future that you want to see happen. So that's where the elements really fall into context. So space element is, okay, you can design an environment that really supports the future vision. And I would say anytime that your environment doesn't support your future vision, it's actually pulling you backward. It's working against you. So you have to architect your environment for who you want to become next, for the change you want to see next in yourself, in your habits, in the world. And it starts to teach you that you can change space. It starts to teach you that the space around you, the vibration in the space around you is created by the objects that you're placing around you, the colors, the everything, like how you are using the space, your home, your car, your refrigerator, et cetera, and that you can change that. And that you are designing yourself by designing your environment. You're designing your future self by what your environment is today. So what does your environment need to be today to actually pull forward the person you're trying to become next?
Yeah,
so that's space element. Yeah, go ahead.
And I was just talking about the fridge, but it's like even the closets, like I know for myself, like the things that are behind closed doors, those things, even though you can't see them, those things matter too, right? Just clearing the clutter. And there's something amazing that happens to my brain and my life when I actually like clean a closet or clean a drawer. It's, you know, so just that, just starting there, if that's the only place you could start today, right? Like that would be a great start.
Yeah. And just realizing it, even just having the realization of like, whatever spaces I've designed are reinforcing the person I am right now.
Yeah.
Like how's that, is that work for some of us who have created very, very high vibrational spaces? Yeah. You know it because when your space gets lower vibration and you have no tolerance for it.
Yeah.
Low tolerance for it.
Well, and I butcher quotes, but it's something like you create your tomorrow today. So it's like going along the lines with what you're saying. It's like anything you do today to create better, you know, space is going to just create some, you know, a better tomorrow, you know, how you live the next day or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
And those of you who work really with a lot of data, like it goes all the way down to the paperclip and it goes down to the files and how they're organized. And if anyone's like running a company or, you know, any of that, or has a side project, like, you know, or what has a podcast, it's like how your systems are, that space element. So how things are organized in space. And what happens is as we up-level systems, we're able to have more impact. So we can up-level the system in our refrigerator, in our closet, in our office, but also in our drives, in our clouds, et cetera, to be able to make more change happen.
Absolutely. I think I heard you talk about this once in one of your podcasts maybe, but your Google Drive was like a mess. And you wanted to kind of figure out how to fix that.
Yeah, I spent like a weekend not too long ago, like, oh my gosh, how did we get to?
Yeah, and I took your advice and I did the same thing for my Google Drive. And it is amazing. It's like I go into Google and I'm like, oh, there's that. Easy, as opposed to the stress. So it's like you're kind of setting yourself up for this self-fulfilling prophecy when you have that a mess. Because then you can't find what you need. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And there's other sayings like you're only as strong as your systems, right? Like there's a degree to that. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
So then what happens is once your space is high vibrational and you have a future vision of yourself and you're using your space to reinforce that, is that that future vision gets a lot more clarified. It gets, you can now see because the space is clear. It's like, you know, if you're ever in the airplane and you're flying through the clouds, you cannot see where you are. You can't see how far above the ground you are. You can't see the wings of the airplane, et cetera. Like there's just, you can't see. So as that space becomes clarified, you can see. You can now orient towards your vision with so much greater clarity. So at that point, you're able to actually perceive fire.
Yeah. Sorry, I was talking.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the other elements. So
at the other elements. Yeah. So at that point you can actually perceive exactly what the future vision is with specificity. And at that point you can also see your obstacles. You can see like what's going to keep you from that goal. Like what are the hard parts? Like what's really in the way. And at that point, once you can see that, once you have an idea of both the vision and the obstacles, you can build strategy. How are you going to make your way there? How are you going to navigate these obstacles? What are your resources? What are your assets? What are your relationships? What are your skills? Like what do you have? What are the opportunities, the threats? You know, like what are your weaknesses? Like what if you can actually build good strategy. And that's fire element. So fire element to me is strategic planning on your ambition. And a lot of people in this sort of like new age yoga world, they do not have good fire skills. We do not as a community have good fire skills. People in my courses love to skip fire element. And then they're wondering why, like they're not taking aligned action.
I love fire element. I'm still on space.
Fire element's amazing.
I'm still on space. And
so fire's challenging. Like you should feel like there's smoke coming out of your ears. Like that's really like when you think hard enough about what you're trying to do and you're realistic enough about what is going to arise and how you need to make a plan to navigate that and how you're going to break that plan down into milestones and how you're going to break that into the field of time, it hurts your brain. Like there's parts of your brain that are like, I haven't been used like this in a while.
Yeah.
But at that point, you emerge with a plan and you emerge with a strategic plan that's actually built into the field of time. Here's these milestones I need to reach by then. This is my strategy for doing that. And at that point, you're now in air element. In air element, it's the wind. And the way that we measure time is the distance across space. So what travels that distance is movement. So time element or time is air element, or air is in the field of time. So if you think about it, like we all kind of know this, like if someone's going to run a marathon, they're going whatever it is, 26.2 miles or something. Like how long does it take them to traverse that? They're moving through, their body is moving through space to in a certain amount of time. And then that becomes the measurement. So how is your calendar organized so that you hit these goals on time, so that you say that you make your milestones? And what happens is when we actually go to put the plan into action is stuff starts to come up. We realize that our strategy was maybe strong in certain areas, that we nailed it, and we notice that it's probably terrible in other areas, that we like missed big chunks. We maybe overestimated skills that we had. We maybe overestimated relationships that we had, underestimated resources, like all this. Yeah. And there's this realignment that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So as we rearrange our schedule, and so many people are weak on time, COVID was a great wake-up call, right? Where people were like, oh, I have more time. Now, a lot of people squandered it. A lot of other people didn't. Right. And so that became a mass divider between people who went into victim mindset and people went into growth mindset.
Right.
The victims watched a lot of Netflix. Right.
Yes.
And woke up depressed and got the quarantine 15 and all this was happening to me. The economy's falling apart. I lost my job. Went into that. The growth mindset, people were like, whoa, I have time.
Yeah. I joined Yogi Detox is what I did. Yes. You know, and time is neutral. Like that's the amazing thing. It's like I'm a geek on time management. So I skipped right to the air element chapter. But
I
could
love
you
Kara.
I know. Could you talk about the innovative calendar? Because we're sort of getting to that, you know, we're talking about that now. Cause that is kind of it's like the creative part of this really come into play.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, and this is a big thing. Like there's a lot, like and I'm just going to ask anyone listening. It's like, what are your beliefs around your time? Like, do you believe you're in control of your time? Do you believe you're not in control of your time? I mean, and just in that, like even shifting that belief of like, I believe I'm in control of my time. Like, okay, now what's got to change? For some people, like they've got to change their work. They've got to change their job. They've got to change their schedule. They've got to change things. Like, do you believe that you can support your body in the field of time? Like you can do the things when you want to do them, that, or when your body wants to do them. Is that a freedom that you have? And if it's not, like that is the goal. To me, then that is like the first and biggest goal before like any other grander goal can happen, right? Is like, can I own my time again? And what does that look like? And what does rhythm look like for me in the field of time with my body and my desires? I was listening to a podcast, Fair the Free Child. It's cool, unschooling, deschooling podcast. And this woman who was speaking on it, she was the guest. She was talking about swimming in the morning. And she's like, I swim in the morning. And it was this conversation where she took control back of time and how she wants her life to flow in the field of time. So in Master of You, there's a little handy tool I picked up somewhere along the way called Ideal Calendar, where you actually map out your ideal calendar. And there's in there a natural goal, right? Of like, this is my goal with time. So now all like your ambition, now you go back to fire element and strategy. Like now you have clarity. Like this is the goal.
Yeah.
This is me in the field of time. Now, what's the strategy? How am I going to do that? For some people, you now have to negotiate with a partner, with an employer, with coworkers, with children.
With your brain.
With your own brain.
Yeah. Because for me, being, you know, someone that's, you know, I work for myself and I used to think, okay, I can only do things, you know, I have to work on my business during this time and, you know, do self-care over here. So after Yogi Detox, I shifted. I just said, because I wanted to, I said, no, the self-care, you know, I'm going to wrap my day in, here's yoga and meditation in the morning, yoga and meditation at night. And then, you know, fill in the gaps after all the personal stuff is dialed in, because that's going to help me to be more engaged and productive and in all the other areas. But yeah, it's hard because, like I was just saying, our brains are like, no, I can't do it like that. I have to focus on, you know, the things that are important, you know, in air quotes, like the work stuff.
Right.
I think that's something.
Exactly. So yeah, like just noticing like how, I mean, and that's, there's, as soon as you have the ideal calendar, then you look back at like your quote unquote real calendar or where you are now. And it's like, what are some of the beliefs around both of these? And so, I mean, it really brings up the core of the issue, because unless we deal with the belief, because some people will fundamentally believe that they are not free in the field of time. And so when we have that belief, we will live it. We will create external realities that reinforce it. So then we have to change perspective. Like, how do we change our perspective? And so it's like, okay, maybe I can take control of like this hour. And that's like the beginning thing of like, maybe I can choose. This kind of came up in my conversation with Romy. Like, can we choose when we go to bed and when we wake up? For a lot of people are just saying, no, I can't do that because of the kids and the job and this and that. But it's like, well, how can you start to design the future that you want to live into? So, and make some choices. So that might be way too hard for some people of like, they can't choose when they can go to bed and wake up, but maybe they can choose what they do in the 5 minutes before they go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the 5 minutes right when they wake up. Now, those are the two, those are like your PowerPoints. That's where you can impress the field with your new beliefs and your new thoughts and your new desires and your new vision for your future, is right before you go to sleep and right when you wake up. So even just taking control of those 5 minutes and saying like, I'm not going to go on email or the news or Instagram or watch something on Netflix right before I go to sleep and tune into whatever, the kids right when I wake up, I'm going to protect that time. And for some people, 5 minutes, way too long. That's way too aggressive. So then we back it down to like 2 minute rule. Yeah. You can do 2 minutes, everyone under any circumstance.
Oh yeah.
Control their perspective for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And going back to what you said about belief, You know, it's like maybe it's just a matter of saying, okay, I am willing to try something new. This word, just that word willing, you know, to try something new.
Very because good.
A lot of the times this belief is formed from past actions, and then they just keep, you know, people can look for evidence from what happened before, and then they keep living that same belief over and over again. So really it's a matter of saying, okay, today I'm just willing to experiment. Like maybe like I'm going to, like it's tricking your brain. I know I do that for myself. It's like, okay, let's just try. Let's just try. And then when you try it, you're like, oh, you're blown away at like the potential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And using those 2 minutes again to like affirm the beliefs that you want to believe, even if it doesn't seem like it's your reality, it's okay. It's the way you create the reality next. And then mental rehearsal. So there's, you know, some people call that visualization. I really like mental rehearsal. I like those words better because I understand that I'm rehearsing the habits I want to have that day. I'm rehearsing the conversations I want to have that day. I'm rehearsing the how I'm using time that day. And doing that before I go to sleep and doing that when I wake up, it's amazing. Like this is how neural pathways are created. You're paving the way to make it easier to step into that path.
So, Kate, I want to respect your time. We've been on a while and I want to ask you if you could finish up with the rest. I think was there one more? I think did we
talk
about
the four? Yeah, so what happens is when you start to put your plan into the field of time, meaning into your calendar, into your schedule, usually what happens is there's a lack of integrity. or stuff comes up like the unexpected arises. And that's great. Like that's water element. And water element brings us into our depth. It brings us into any kind of integrity gaps that we might have. So we might even have a gap between like what we believe and then how we act. Right. We might believe we can get all this stuff done, but like our actions and time, like where maybe we're fucking around on Facebook. Or whatever, right? And so there's like, we start to be able to look at our own discrepancies. And when we do that and we start to realign, like we get in touch with like, oh, if I want to be an A player, I got to act like one. Like I got to nourish myself like one. I got to keep my office space in that A game. I've got to show up on this higher level in order to take more aligned action. Then what happens is we start to unlock flow. And that's the positive side of water element. So the sort of the come to Jesus moment, the reckoning day, getting in touch with it's really not working. That is the integrity part of water element. And water's fascinating with integrity. Like there's been so much work over time with the energetics of water, of you know, like a lot of people who are into water, they're like, water's everything, like water's life. And the vibration in the water and the in the molecular structure of the water is really determining so much of how we feel. So if there's anything out of integrity in that, I can't remember the guy's name who put like, he took water bottles and he put some positive words on like joy, love on some water bottles. And then he put negative words on the other. And he then measured the crystalline structure of the water. And there was water that had dysfunctional or incoherent structure.
Oh, wow.
And then there's water that had like hyper coherent structure, basically like makes you smarter and happier just from putting a word
on
a bottle.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This stuff came out like 10 years ago. Can't remember his name, but integrity is everything in water. It's like if you put a drop of blue food coloring in a glass of water, it changes it. And that's what happens with water is it becomes impure really quickly. So water gives us a measurement of our integrity. So you know how it is, like when you do, like you have a conversation with someone and you said something and you regret it, or you said something and you're like, that didn't go right. You feel it everywhere in your body because water's like that. It's like that blue drop in the body. You feel it everywhere. And until you make that right, you don't get to feel more what the yogis would say, prana, more life force. You don't get to feel more prana in your system. Wow. As soon as you make it right, you get that in instantly, it's clear. The field is now clear. Now you have purified water, essentially.
Yeah, your bottle of water is good.
Your bottle of water is good.
Because
you made it right. Yeah.
I love that.
And I just want to tie this to relevance right now. Like a lot of people are like, how have I been kind of asleep at the wheel?
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, and I'm looking at that with me with Yoga Healer, just my orientation was way more towards the planet and ecological awareness, and, you know, just getting the humans on the planet to realize that how you treat your inner ecosystem is how you treat your outer ecosystem. It's all connected. Like, let's take care of our inner and outer ecosystems. Let's get our awareness in the planet. Right.
And they say how you do one thing is how you do everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I've realized is, like, I've talked to so many experts in the last, you know, 8 years or so or more of podcasting. But when I look at, like, how ethnically diverse have the people that I've invited to conversations been, I'm like, not so much. Like, lots of Indians, because I study yoga and Ayurveda. So lots of Indians. And then lots of white Westerners, some Asian experts here and there. Like, but I'm like, wow, like there's some decent gaps. So now I can say, like, okay, that's that, like, blue drop of dye in my glass of water. And it's like, what am I going to do to rectify that? Who do I need to start connecting with, networking with, reaching out with, so that my work in the world is able to intersect and help more people, and I'm able to listen and be simply more helpful because I'm more being more integrated, rooted human being in myself with the issues that are of my time.
Well, and when you open up to that, say, hey, I'm going to be like a beginner, like we were saying before, you creative ideas just flow because you kind of get out of your head too, you know, because you're thinking, okay, it's my responsibility to get out there and really just find out what it is that I don't know.
Yeah.
And again, back to the whole thing before, the willingness to say, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to say something that someone's not going to like, but so be it. You know,
especially, so maybe I can learn too.
So I can learn, but also it's like, if I'm, you know, afraid and I want to stay behind the bushes, you know, how can I possibly, you know, evolve from that? So it's just like this rebirthing. I feel like
it very much is. Well, and if we look back at water element too, it's like the in Ayurveda, every element has characteristics. Those are called gunas that describe it. So water is cohesive. So even by shifting by getting in more integrity, I'm now more in the cohesive field. And so instead of being separate, water molecules like to cohese to flow. You don't get flow without cohesion ever, right? You get basically you get dehydration without cohesion. Things just dissipate. But with cohesion, you enter flow. Now you're part of the cycle, literally the water cycle in this experience. So what that means in terms of human relationships is, like, once you're back in integrity, your ability to connect with other people, like you're magnetically drawn towards each other. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
It is.
Right? So,
it's amazing. So this is great, Kate. Everyone, go get the book. Here it is.
Master of You.
Get that book.
Once you get it, there's a great workbook on masterofyou.us/workbook. And
look,
there's
and
a lot of audio
files
in it.
Look,
oh, Kate, look at you.
Aren't you proud of me?
Have you been using the audio files that are part of the...
Yes, I have. Yes.
And how are I haven't talked to anyone that's like, you know, I like put them up months ago and then I went on with.
They're great. They're
projects.
Nice little bite-sized snippets that are accompany the book, the workbook, that you can listen to meditations. You have some meditations and they're great. I mean, I'm finding them to be very useful.
Oh, good.
Yeah. To keep myself very engaged, you know, because a lot of times we'll read a book in bed, maybe.
Yeah.
and then put it away. This is not one of those kind of books. I mean, this is one of those real engaging books where you're just really busy.
The editor, it sounds true. She was like, this is more of like a field guide. I'm like, I create curriculums, you know, and then I codify them into books. And it's really different than just like, oh, I'm going to write a book about something. It's like, no, we prove a system. And now it's hilarious. So we create a system, we test it on, like, we co-create it with members, we improve it through iterations. Then they're like, where's the book? So we write the book on the thing that we just created. And then I have to go back and update the course because now we have the book and the live interactive members who are in the Master of You, you know, book community, the one that, like, it's the course that we call Awake Living. They're just like, you got to catch the course up again to the book. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's always this like back and forth conversation, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had more questions for you because I have so many for you, Kate. But like one of those, I was going to talk about it as a playbook. I said playbook and blueprint.
Yeah.
Like those are the two words that come to mind when I think about this book because it really is. And it's like a manual. Yeah, there's another
one. It's like
one.
A manual.
Totally. Totally is. And I just want to say thank you for the gifts that you give everyone because... Yeah. I mean, you just offer so much, not just in your books and the programs that you do, but just on your website alone, you have so much free, so many free resources. I can't talk today. But in these last few minutes, what kind of advice would you give, action plan, takeaways for anyone that wants to get started with Master of You or kind of enter into the yoga healer world? What kind of advice would you give at this point?
Yeah, we're really interactive. I would say it's something that I've just paid a lot of attention to, that we're not meant to learn on our own. We really evolve faster when we're in a group of people learning together and at the same time. So when we do that, it's like what I was saying before, if you're hanging out with people that have the habits you want, you're going to pick up those habits so much more quickly. So we have free Facebook groups. We have podcast listeners. The easiest way to start to get involved in the whole world of all of this is just go to yogahealer.com, click on something, find what you want. If you don't know what you want, start with a dream session. So it's yogahealer.com/dream, DREAM. And you'll fill out a form that just helps you get in touch with what you want. And it helps you talk to someone on my team. And then you'll schedule an appointment with someone on my team, and they'll help point you to, we have a lot of free courses and free resources and free Facebook groups. We also have, high level paid membership groups as well for people who want to actively be coached by me. And they'll help point you into your interests, that because we have a world of so many things. We have a free Ayurveda course at yogahealer.com/Ayurveda. We have a great masterclass for people who are wellness pros at yogahealthcoaching.com/masterclass. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things, but my people will know where to point you. So start with a dream session. They'll also help you get really clear on what is the next chapter of your life that you want to manifest. What is that dream? And that's just at yogahealer.com/dream.
That's awesome. Thank you, Kate. This was fun and enlightening as always. I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure, Kara. Thanks for inviting me. And I love getting in touch with communities that, other people have organized. So I really appreciate the invitation. Yeah.
And thanks everyone for watching. This was a lot of fun. And Ann Tudor got the book. Yay.
Yay.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my chat with Grace. So for those of you listening to the podcast, if you weren't able to watch us live, here is a special gift that Grace would like to extend to you as a podcast listener. For a limited time only, she's offering buy one, get one free on any pattern in her Ravelry shop. And all you need to do is enter Power Pearls, and that's one word, no space between power and pearls. So enter Power Pearls at checkout. All right, you guys, that's it. And thanks again for joining me, and I'll see you next time.